B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hedman shoots, blocked up top by Nordstrom. Near point, Braden Point, high slot, Shattenkirk. Near circle, Hedman shoots, they score! Victor Hedman with Patrick Maroon screening out in front wins it 3-2 for the Lightning in double overtime. And the Lightning down the Bruins in five games in the second round.
Well, there goes that. At least they didn't totally quit. They lost, but they didn't totally quit.
They played hard.
And throw the towel in. They played hard.
They played hard.
They played hard last night, but it didn't result in a win. Halak played pretty well, too.
Sadly, how's their, I don't want to say that's their ceiling, but that might, in reality, be their ceiling. Can they play better? And you can sit here and say, yeah, maybe the top two lines could score more. It's easy to sit there and say that.
Oh, yeah. Can they
against a better team? Like, maybe that's their ceiling with this core against a really, really good team.
I don't feel like the Bruins coming back after the time off ever really looked like the team that they looked like before the break. Is that a fair thing to say? With Tuukka, without Tuukka, doesn't matter. They never really looked like the team that we thought they were.
I guess. And then you hear them talk after the game last night, like, it's disappointing because we put so much into this. And again, you bring up Tuukka. It took me right to Tuukka. Because I think a lot of these guys are depressed because they sacrificed a lot to be there. And maybe somebody else didn't, and that crushed their chances. And they knew it.
I think they did against Carolina. I think when the top line was producing. I mean, but they never...
So then it should go back to seedings, right?
But they never looked like the team they thought they were because, for the most part, they weren't because Tuukka wasn't there.
I'm talking even without him. I don't think that they looked like a good team that was capable of beating Carolina. They never really returned to being the dominant team they were in stretches.
I don't know.
Prior to the break.
There were flashes last night, and I think in other games too, second period, two games ago, where it looks like they could skate with them, or it looks like, they could make this interesting. You're there with them. It's tough because there's lapses where, oh God, this is ugly. Or you have defensive mind bleeps, you know?
Well,
was great last night, I thought.
See, I still disagree with that. I think they pretty much dominated the Hurricanes with Yarrow in goal. And for his part, he did everything he could do, but it changes the way you play in front of him. That's number one.
And Cassidy's talking about changing lineups because of who's in net. You know what I mean?
They're changing them up last night.
Mentally affects everybody.
You gotta change stuff up, but... Even during the regular season when they were, you know, seemingly dominating everyone, did you think they were a better team than the Lightning?
No, I probably didn't think that. But
okay.
I thought that they,
well, there it is.
I thought they could have represented better again in this series than they did. They could have played better in this series. And if they had Tuukka Rask, they could have won the series. I mean, just because you don't stack up the rosters and say this roster is better than another, you can't beat them. They're in the same ballpark.
They didn't get their ass kicked last night like they did in other games in this series. And I think that's where people are going to look at this and say, okay, you lost a better team. And I think people will tolerate this more based on how they were outed.
Well, this is what I don't want to hear. And this goes back to our conversations in March when everything shut down, or April when we were talking about this. Don't tell me the Bruins failed because it was the bubble. Like, I don't want to hear that excuse. All we heard was how special this championship was going to be.
Well, it was going to be.
And how difficult it was. And I came around and said, you know what? The mental aspects of this will be very difficult of staying in there and doing it in a completely different style. You won't have the elements of fans or opposing buildings to go into, but you will have the elements of fighting against yourself and staying in the bubble.
I heard one analyst say it would have been the most impressive championship in Boston sports history.
Correct. But you can't use the bubble as the excuse now. After we had this conversation at a time, and we all agreed, okay, full credit for if they win, but full blame if they lose. We will not factor the bubble into it. Is that what we said?
Okay.
I don't know how you don't factor the bubble into it is just weird.
I'm going to remember this the next time we have a passionate, heated debate.
And you know what?
That when
we got months, whatever, how many months have gone by.
If it was a passionate, heated debate, how did we all agree on it at the end?
Because I came around and agreed to your terms, is what I did, Hardy. I agreed to your terms, and because I did that, I just want to state that today. You don't get to blame the bubble, or the bubble robbed the Bruins.
Are the Celtics better because there's a bubble?
If it wasn't for the bubble, they'd be Stanley Cup champions.
I don't think the bubble,
another team.
I don't think the bubble enters into it. I think the Lightning were a better team, even though the Bruins were, going back to March and before, I think the Lightning were a better team than the Bruins, and I regardless of record, and the Bruins were special. It was a special team this year. They were doing great things. Pasternak had a special season, but you take these two teams now, months and months later, you take away Tuukka Rask. That's a huge factor.
Absolutely.
Is it balanced by Stamkos not being out there for the Lightning? Okay, sure. But then the Lightning are still a better team, and they ended up winning the series.
So I'm looking at the scores here. So put those scores back up, NBC Sports Boston, of the series. So you win game one by one. And damn it, you go back to that overtime goal that they got. Okay, so they beat you by one. The one anomaly in there is the 7-1 ass kicking in there. Okay? And then after that, it's tight. It's one goal games. Another overtime. We had two overtime games in a series. And then you get your Vezina winning goalie, who left the bubble because the bubble affected him, because you're not under normal circumstances or you're not playing in TD Garden and you could scoot home for the night if something's wrong. You see what I'm saying? The bubble affected this. But I'm not going to blame the bubble. But when I watch hockey in the bubble, it seems more real to me than the NBA in the bubble does, if that makes any sense. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the way it's shot. Maybe it's the intensity of it. Maybe because we believe it's a playoffs. I don't know if I believe the NBA is that these are playoff games. It doesn't feel that way to me. So maybe because you don't have a crowd. Maybe you need the crowd more in the NBA. But like, we're going to do it tonight with the Celtics. And if the Celtics go on, can't you credit the bubble? Because I think they've embraced the bubble. See, the bubble you can use good or bad. I think the bubble negatively affected the Bruins. There's no way to refute that.
I don't think it was the bubble. I think it was the break.
Well, the break
that impacted the Bruins,
which caused you to go into the bubble and forced one of your top two guys on your team to leave the bubble and leave your team hanging. While everybody else is going through the same type of stuff. I'm not saying medically, because I don't know what he went through. But, hey, we're going to be talking to coach today down in Florida, and supposedly Gordon Hayward's coming back. Did you hear Wick yesterday with Felger and Maz? That guy left the bubble. He's coming back. Things okay. You figure out a way to get back in.
So
if it means something to you.
There are things about the Bruins themselves this season to discuss. But when I watched that game last night, I really wasn't thinking about the season and, you know, their comeback after the bubble and how they handle it. I was thinking more about, is this it?
My God, that tributes to Chara.
Is this the end of Zdeno Chara in a Bruins uniform or as an NHL player? Will Torrey Krug be back? Should Torrey Krug be back? Where do the Bruins go from here with an aging core? When I say veteran, I think we're starting to be going easy on them when we start calling them veterans. The Bruins are getting old. And was this their last shot? And was their real last shot a year ago? And we sort of sense that may have been it at the time. And what a missed opportunity that was a year ago when they lost game 7 at home. And this feels like the end of a certain era for the Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. This group and this core, I don't think it's going to look the same in the coming years. I don't think it can look the same in the coming years if you want to be competitive. So I think there's a lot to get to on that front. Is this the end of the Bruins as we know them for right now? This era of Bruins hockey, the last decade, we'll call it. Is it over?
It's over.
Feels that way. We talked about it yesterday. It feels that way.
I think Chara's coming back. I think Rask is gone. That's enough to say it's over.
All right, we got to talk about Rask, too. Will Rask be back? Should Rask be back? Is he going to retire? And the Chara element of last night, as you said, Doc Emrick was laying it on thick at the end of the game last night, almost like he knows something.
Most network guys, when you're around the team and you talk to the team or you're doing homework on your games, you tend to get little tidbits.
All right, we'll get to that and your calls and reaction of the Bruins ending their season last night in a loss in double OT to the Lightning. 617-779-0985. We're off and running here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Got it back to the spinning Bjork, then onto the back Clifton. On a cross now, and Chara shot. Rebound, score! Krejci! And the game is tied!
Big smile there from Bruce Cassidy on the bench. And he's tried a whole lot of different combinations here. This time Bjork goes on the ice with Krejci. And Krejci's there for the feed from Zdeno Chara. Not ready for his Bruins career to end just yet. Chara to the front of the net. Krejci with the goal. And the Bruins have tied it at two.
I don't know if everyone picked up on this on the NBC Sports broadcast last night. That was Keith Jones, color analyst on the broadcast with Doc Emmerich. After Chara sets up Krejci for the goal, late in the game, he says Chara's not ready for his Bruins career to end just yet. And all I could think was, wow, that sounds rather definitive.
And Krejci's there for the feed from Zdeno Chara. Not ready for his Bruins career to end just yet.
I heard that and I thought,
what do you think,
Charlie? Are we treating this as a definitive thing? Charlie, the engineer, is in studio at the moment. He's helping fix those computer over there.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate you.
Thank you for your service.
And I thought, wow, that's rather a definitive statement that Keith Jones is making there. Like, this is it. Like, we all know it or something. Like, it's accepted fact that this would be, if the Bruins lose, the last game for Zdeno Chara in Boston. I get it. We've all sort of thought about it a little bit. But I don't think any of us are definitive. Oh, that's the end.
It's almost like that Dead song that Tom plays coming back from break when something bad happens.
Yeah.
Who sings that?
Kings of Leon.
And this is textbook play-by-play guy, great, one of the best. Doc Emmerich, one of the best.
Well, that's Keith Jones on.
I know that,
doing
but
that one.
Then he threw it to the other guys, and it's back. You're like, well, I just really hope this isn't the last for Chara. He just means so much. It's just normally he's a person. When they go to the person route outside,
oh, wait,
the
we're
player.
We're going to play that. So people who didn't hear that, who may have turned the TV off
we're
at this
shocked.
Point.
Shocked.
Because this happens. You know, people... This is one of the pieces of advice I always got from my dad. When your team loses in the playoffs, shut the TV off right away. Shut it off. Like,
but then you miss the handshake line.
But in anything.
That's what Jones
shut
loves.
It off. Shut it off.
Do you know I only watch
I remember
the
being in college.
Because of Jones.
And Aaron Boone hit the home run in 2003. And my dad calls and goes, shut the TV off. Shut it off. Shut it off. Don't keep watching. Just shut it off. And so I know a lot of people do that. Like, oh, that's it. I don't need to watch this crap.
You get mad. You get angry.
Right. And I think we sort of half expected it last night anyway. So it wasn't that devastating. But still, I don't need this. Well, if you missed this, as the handshake line begins, here is Doc Emmerich on Zdeno Chara.
And at the head of the line is Zdeno Chara, the captain, as he always is. 14 years, 43 years of age, 14 years of Bruin. Said in April he had no retirement plans, but his contract with Boston is up, so we'll see. It is likely the last time we're going to see him in a Bruin uniform. I hope you don't mind I shift gears from hockey, the humanity that this guy has. Over his span of time in Boston, he's reached out to oppressed groups. He's made donations of time and food and clothing, as a lot of guys do.
Do they?
But if he were coming to your home for dinner tomorrow night, he'd want to talk about you and your family and not himself. He's a good soul, and you always see other people greet him for that reason. And a gallant player who did win a championship for Boston in his time.
Death. Over. That's final chapter.
That's a eulogy.
That is. That's not off the cuff. That's pre-programmed doc. Okay, if things go bad for the Bruins, remember, I need to say goodbye to Zdeno Chara. We need to send him off.
Do you know what it tells me? It tells me the word in and around the league is that if Zdeno Chara doesn't choose to retire, the Bruins are going to tell him to go find a new team. That's what it sounds like. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but that there's a growing sense that if Zdeno Chara continues his career beyond this year, it's not going to be in a Bruins uniform.
What you got, Hardy?
I still hear him say didn't win a championship in his time in Boston.
No, he says did win. He did. He got it right.
And you always see other people greet him for that reason. And a gallant player who did win a championship for Boston.
Did win a championship. Yeah.
He was the first to hold the cup. Yeah.
I'm pissed if I'm a Lightning fan.
Why?
Because it's all about that you just won and that this is what it's all about. That's even more definitive.
Well, they only kissed their ass for the other 97% of the program.
Thank
you, Zoe. Thank you, Zoe. Great point,
Zoe. They wanted the Lightning to win so badly in this.
They were so far up the Lightning's ass in this series.
I know I do this all the time with you. I do this all the time with you.
Right up in there.
We've done this before.
Right up in there.
We've done this before. Yep, we've done this before, and you've always yelled at me, oh, no, it's just down the middle. Bull crap.
Nope, I'm with you.
There's an edge to Lightning in that call. I'm sorry.
It doesn't bother me anymore.
It doesn't bother me either.
But I recognize it. I definitely recognize it. I also want to know if anyone caught something last night that happened at the end of the game after all that eulogy that was delivered by Doc Emmerich. Did you see what happened with Chara right after the line? He was the first one down the tunnel. He's usually the last. He almost always waits to go last, even when they lose.
Does he?
He waits.
I know Bergeron
meets up with Bergeron at the end.
Yeah.
He was through the line and down the tunnel first, and that is rare for Zdeno Chara. And I'm one that reads into that.
Like, at the end of the game or at the end of period?
After the game.
Okay.
Because
it's normally Marchand who's the last
one.
But after games,
maybe got to pee.
Many times is one of the last guys down, and I just saw that and was like, whoa.
Is that him giving up his captain stripes?
I texted a couple of people that are familiar with these sort of routines.
The guy that eats peaches?
That are very close to these routines. And they agreed that it was weird that he went down the tunnel, and they thought the same thing right away. Like, whoa. Mm.
Ooh.
Like, is that him, whatever you want to call it, passing the torch, changing of the guard, whatever it is. I'm done.
Was Bergeron last?
Yes.
Bergeron was typically right there with Chara at the end.
Yes, Bergeron stayed
last
up.
Night. Was he last?
I didn't see because they didn't show that. I didn't see that part. Did you see it?
Yeah, he waited till all the players went in, shook their hands, and then went
there. And Bergeron was torch. Last. I mean, that's where what's going to happen. But yeah, I read into it.
Okay.
So I think it's over for Zdeno Chara here. I think it's done. It's over.
And nice pass there at the end to sort of keep life alive there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people jumped on him, critical to series, but one hell of a pass. Set up that goal.
What would you do if you were him?
Leave.
I'd retire.
I mean, exhausted. I've given you over 20. He's in his 40s, man.
He's 43 years old. He's given everything he's got to the NHL, and he's given everything he's got for the last 14 years to the Bruins.
So he's like at $2 million bucks now, right, a year?
What are you hanging on for?
Yeah. And if they're paying you $7 million, I'm staying. If you're paying me $2 million or $1.5 million, I'm out. You know, I've made a lot of money. I'm in great shape. Sacrificed a lot. So your tweet last night gave me goosebumps going back. Watch that moment when he had, you know, the protective jaw covering on and the fans are going freaking nuts and how great it is to have fans in the building with hockey and the playoffs and all that. Just, it sucks. It sucks. Reminds you of the bubble again.
Corey's in Burlington. Hey, Corey.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk to you guys, you know, with everything that just happened with Brady and leaving after a long career, you know, Doc Emmerich was kind of insinuating that Char is not done. You think there's the possibility that he could go to another team next year and not retire?
Yeah, I think it's possible. It's Why would it not be possible?
I mean, that'd just be another, you know, nail in the coffin with Boston sports and letting, you know, a great guy not retire in a Boston uniform after everything that happened with Brady. You think that could piss off the fans a little bit more here?
Well, no, because I don't think the Bruins should keep Zdeno Chara just because of an emotional attachment to Zdeno Chara.
There's a big difference between Brady and Chara in that the notion is that Brady can go down to Tampa and
elevate others.
And elevate and win and do all kinds of special stuff. Chara, I still like as a player. I don't have the venom toward him that a lot of people do. I don't think he is going to be a game changer for any other team that he plays for. I think he's going to be a good defenseman if he plays again next year.
Like a Mark Recchi piece at the end. Yeah.
It's not the type of guy that goes to another team and it's like, why couldn't you figure out a way to keep him for now? Now he's doing all the Chara stuff for someone else.
Imagine if he goes to Tampa.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me put it this way.
Seriously.
What if he goes to a good team?
I go to a contender.
Where he says, I'll play for $1 million, but I want to play on a contender.
Pittsburgh. Or Tampa.
I want to have a role, you know, I don't need to be your top defenseman. I just want to have a role on the team. I do want some minutes. I don't want to be, you know, some veteran that you stat. I want to play. And by the way,
I'll be a bottom pairing defenseman and put me out there on the penalty kill.
And yes, exactly. And oh, by the way, you're getting one of the greatest, you know, leaders of a team.
Toughness.
That you could ask for.
He can bring toughness to your team. Sure.
Yeah. If I'm a Stanley Cup contender, I'll bring that guy in. Oh, you want another shot at a cup? Doesn't look like you're going to get that in Boston again. So why don't you come play for us? Hey, come on. We'll take care of you.
DC, a lot of cool things to see there.
Take care of your body, like all of it.
Go to the museum.
Yes, I can totally see it.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. So, and I don't think the Bruins should hang on to Zdeno Chara just because he's Zdeno Chara. If they need to sort of reset here in some way, then you got to do what you got
to
do.
Then they need to do that with other players, too. So no emotional attachments, right? We love Krug, and I know Krug's coming up next here.
Let's talk about Krug and Rask. We'll do that because those are two decisions that the Bruins have to make. Both Krug and...
One is easy, one is tough.
Rask is hard because he's under contract. He's got another year left on his deal. And I just mean, technically it's hard. You either have to trade him or he has to retire. It's not like, oh, we could just walk away. The Bruins can do that with Torrey Krug. Should they do that with Torrey Krug? Should they let Torrey Krug walk into free agency? We'll discuss that. And what do the Bruins have on their roster that they can, like, maybe move or something? I don't know. I think that's worth discussing, too. 617-779-0985. And, of course, Chara and his situation is in the mix as well. He's without a contract for next year with the Bruins. Is it over for Big Z in Boston? All of this on the table. As we talk some Bruins this hour, here's Hardy with headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The pros.
That's great. Thank you, Beat. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Yeah, Torrey is a great player. He always has your back. You definitely want to see him leave. Great friend. I can't say enough about that guy. But at the same time, it just kind of hit me after the game that the core group, you know, a few of us, we have 1 or 2, 3 years left with the pandemic going on. You never know what's going to happen. So it's just kind of a little sad right now. But at the same time, I don't regret coming into this bubble and fighting for the Stanley Cup. If I would have to do it again, I would.
Off-season Bruins begins. Torrey Krug, yay or nay? What do you do?
What's the price?
Let's say $7.5 million a year.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I'm saying no.
Five, yes.
I don't think they're going to get him for that. I don't think that's what he's going to get on the market. He's going to get more on the market. He's going to get paid on the market. And I don't think the Bruins should match it. I think the Bruins should walk away.
I think Krug knows it, too. Because they flashed to him right at the end of that game, and he just had this disgusted look on his face. Like, is this it for me in Boston? The first thing I thought.
Overpaying Torrey Krug right now. And I say overpaying in the sense that paying him a lot of money. Paying him more than what he's probably worth to this team. As he, again, at 29 years old, Torrey Krug has great history with the Bruins, puts up a lot of points. But honestly, I think the flexibility, maintaining some flexibility, if you're the Bruins, would be more valuable right now than re-upping Torrey Krug. I'm sorry. I just think it's time to maybe walk away from that. It's getting a little too pricey.
Are you a 5-on-5 team right now, or are you a power play team?
Power play team.
You're not a 5-on-5 team.
What's your power play look like without Krug?
Not good.
Thank you.
Got to keep him.
How are your defensemen if Chara leaves?
But here's the thing. I think you've got to get back to being a 5-on-5 team. You can't be a power play team. That's no way to live.
So that was Krejci talking,
they,
right?
They lived pretty well by it for the entirety of last season.
This season or the season before?
All the, this season.
The season that just ended.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Right. How'd that end for them in the end?
Oh, please.
How did last night end?
I guess the season was an abject failure, and they need to blow up the entire thing. Get rid of everybody.
Hold on.
All Pasternak does is score goals. He doesn't do anything else. Get rid of him. Get rid of Krejci while you're at it. Say so long to Bergeron. Chara, so long.
In my
blow
world.
Blow the whole thing up because it didn't work.
This is the time to trade Krejci. His value's high. He's coming off of great playoffs. This is the time to move him.
You're going full blow up, huh?
Where do you think the Bruins are at? I don't think people realize it's over. Like, you get to keep a few pieces, but this run is over. You've got to reconstruct the thing.
Like Coyle, like McAvoy, like Krug. I'm just trying to think. Okay, real quick. Who you
all right,
like?
Let me lay this out. Ready?
Marchand.
They bring back Krug, right?
Yep.
They pay Krug. Rask comes back and he plays next year. And you bring back the same group. And let's even say Chara stays on a cheap contract. Are you contending for the cup next year? Do you feel that way?
Who's your goalie?
I said if Rask is back.
Okay. I don't trust him.
Do you think they're going to win the cup that way? Because I don't. Because I think you're just avoiding the uncomfortable conversation that the Bruins are getting old.
Normally, Beetle, I wouldn't like say if you're saying you're going to get rid of somebody, you have to tell me what they're going to do instead, because that's their problem, not our problem. But with Torey Krug, if you're going to lose Zdeno Chara, especially, right? And if you want to get younger, that's fine. But Krug's only 29. And you want to talk about how teams have success? How did the Blues win last year? Did they do it with outrageous offense, or did they?
The Blues are an outlier. You know that.
Okay, but they won. So what? Is this year an outlier too? Why can't this year be an outlier?
Could be one and done next year. Like, go one more year and that's it. Then we reset. We'll give it one more shot.
I think this year is the year to give it one more shot.
Do you owe that to Bergeron? Do you owe that to guys like Bergeron?
Generally speaking, I want the Bruins to be proactive and not wait around for the thing to fall apart.
Well, if you want to be a better 5-on-5 hockey team, I think a good way to go about it is with two-way forwards and a puck-moving defenseman like Torey Krug.
By the way, I'm not sure you're going to be a better team next year. You might have to take a step back to take a big step forward. I'm not promising that the team will be better next year. I'm not. I don't think they can make that promise right now. There's too many question marks about this team.
They were just in the Stanley Cup Finals a year ago. They were the best team in hockey prior to the break. The break effed them up. Now all of a sudden you're just going to hit a cliff. I would think they would be able to contend somewhat next year. Or a playoff team.
Well, they could be a playoff team. They could be competitive.
What about a mid-tier to upper-tier playoff team? Top four. Going to be top four team. In East.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
You want to waste a year of Brad Marchand?
No.
He's 32.
Might as well trade him too, right?
Might as well.
I wouldn't trade him.
Why not?
I would keep Marchand intact.
He's fun to watch.
I would keep Bergeron intact.
For what?
Because you're not
Bergeron's 34. What are you doing?
Because you're just not going to trade Patrice Bergeron. Bergeron's going to play here until he's, you know, he's going to Chara territory.
Yeah. Oh. That's
as long as he wants to play, he's going to play. Yeah.
So you want Bergeron to go through what you said Brady went through last year.
I think Brady did.
Bergeron's still a good player, and he's going to be your captain if Zdeno Chara is done. What are you talking about?
I said you want Bergeron to go through what Brady went through last year.
Which is what? I'm not sure.
The start of the transition. The start of the rebuild.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but I think Bergeron's got a number of years left. Like, I think your goal is when you do things like this, when you get a little bit, again, when you get proactive.
7 years older.
When you get proactive with changing things on your roster, your goal is that you can rebuild it faster, not let it just let the wheels fall off and be completely dead in the middle of the road and then have to put the thing back together. It's not a rebuild. It's a retooling is what it is. That's what it would be over the next couple of seasons. You need better young talent than what they have. I mean, Pasternak aside, but you need more of it.
I understand it's going to be a lot of money for Torey Krug, and it could be as much as $8 million a year, but he was willing to stay here and play for less before.
And then he changed his mind.
You need to explore that to within an inch of its life, because I'm sorry.
All right, we'll set the number. What are you willing to pay him?
$7 million a year.
Yeah, it's a little. It's a little rich for my blood.
I know it's a lot of money.
What's Krejci at? Krejci's at what? 6.5, 7
Yep. He's over. I think he's like 7.25, isn't he?
Oh boy, Pasta's at 8, right?
617-779-0985
$7 million.
Andrew,
like $7 million goalie
in Wakefield. Andrew,
what's up?
Yes, I was just wanted to talk about how McAvoy would be, I think, a good replacement for Krug on the power play. We saw last night him kind of take over offensively and create a lot of chances. I think he just has untapped potential that hasn't gotten to be used on that top power play unit yet.
There you go.
Yeah,
Here's your answer.
I mean, I love his strength, but the ability to handle the puck and pass it like Krug. Yeah,
does that satisfy you, Hardy?
That's different.
No, he
it's
needs
a different
to,
force.
He needs to play a lot smarter. Last night when he went down, he needed to flop on the ice for 4.5 minutes and make him bring out the cardiac paddles before he left the ice, because maybe then the Bruins would have gotten a 5-minute major out of it. He got up too quick. You need to play smarter. Stupid Lightning.
Need to be more clever.
Stupid Lightning. Oh, my God, they did it again last night. Freaking unbelievable that the and again the refs just fallen for it. Well, we better take a look at this. Look at him there. He's flopping around like a fish. He must really be hurt. He's got oh my god.
Talk?
Did you see the coaches did not look good when he went down the tunnel there. He's back. He's fine.
Yeah.
Stitches? I don't see any.
Did you see the trainer come over
blood.
And talk to the coach?
Wait
the coach
a second. Goes, oh. Double minor. But where's the blood? Where's the stitches? Where's a butterfly bandage? Give me something. Give me a little strangle of a cotton swab stuck to his stubble from where they had to dab the blood off. Nothing? Oh, he's fine? Oh, it's all BS like Gord was the other night? Oh, okay.
Mike and Woburn on the Bruins Retool. Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
What makes you think the ownership is going to let them retool? They didn't let them retool in 15. Chiarelli had that team in cap jail. They were an absolute shambles. They had no talent coming up. The owner, you know, walks out of his crypt at the freaking horse farm and demands a deep playoff run. Okay? This team, that mandate from him cost them in the 15 draft because they had to, and Sweeney said it in his press conference, accelerate the return for Dougie Hamilton. Do you know what happens if they don't accelerate the return for Dougie Hamilton? They get the first-round pick from Calgary next year, and that is Matt Tkachuk. You think Matt Tkachuk makes a difference on this team?
It might. Yeah, if there was some patience exercise there, yep, that would have been helpful.
Right, but ownership is more concerned with them going one and done in the first round and chucking a couple extra pretzels around the garden.
Well, the good news, Mike, is they may not have tickets to sell next season.
Well, maybe they get to rebuild instead of wasting. Beetle, I went through this last night. Conservatively, 6 second-round picks they wasted on trying to compete in that 15 to 17 years. 6, 2/3, 1/4, 1/5, 1/6. That's like that. You could choke a freaking franchise with all the talent that is right there. I don't understand why people aren't upset at ownership demanding this team have a deep playoff run when they could have rebuilt and have a wagon right now with still young talent coming up.
Well, they did make it to the Cup Final 3 times in a span of how many years? 9 years? That's pretty good. But now it's over. Like, this to me is the end point. Okay, it's over. We now know it's over. 617-779-0985. We've got deliveries for Jim Louth.
Got a lot of stuff.
Corporate Jim deliveries next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Solak Invertrend, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jim Louth has a new office here at the Sports Hub with 36 oddly shaped shelves.
Yeah, we got a box.
And with that being the case, we have requested you send him your useless memorabilia of all kinds.
We got a box. Call the bomb squad. I need a bomb squad. We got a box.
I'm going to open it.
Kevin Youkilis' broken bat when he was a rookie with the Lowell Spinners.
No!
Happy Gilmore, Bruins jersey.
Okay, I like that. That's a good one.
Oh, what's in the box?
Autographed hit dog picture.
Oh, that's nice.
No!
Massachusetts Pirates towel. Autographed game puck signed by number 16, Marco Sturm.
You lie!
Yes, this is exactly the type of thing we need.
Autographed framed photo of number 35, Manny Fernandez. Goalie.
Jesus. Perfect.
What's in the box?
Kane's mayonnaise.
No!
Good things come in small packages.
Dondo has the upper hand.
I do like this. I like this music.
Here we are again. Opening more items for Jim Louth. I'll get right to it. Let's start opening them up.
Ooh.
Dear Beatles, Zoe and Hardy, enclosed are two items for Jim's CD bookcase for your approval.
Mm.
He's enclosed one of his favorites. Nice. September 1st today.
Hell yes.
It says, I used to collect basketball cards back in the day. And this one that's enclosed is one of my favorites. It will even make the biggest curmudgeon, Michael Felger, smile. Plus, it's a great conversation starter. What on earth are Bird and Mahorn smiling about?
It's smiling.
The possibilities are endless. He says, Zoe mentioned that he wanted more animals. This adorable bunny rabbit will bring hours of pleasure on which you can create funny faces and share inspirational quotes. Other things, Zoe, you may not remember this, but my daughter commissioned a cameo from you to wish me a happy 60th this past June.
Nice.
It was great. I was so surprised. Thank you. Keep up the great work, gentlemen. Awesome show. It's from Donna.
You can hit me on Cameo. I can wish happy birthday.
I can do the same. Asking Hardy.
Sure can.
We're all on there.
Outstanding.
All right. What do we got here? This is a Rick Mahorn.
Rick Mahorn.
Rick Mahorn. And Larry Bird. Larry Bird is defending him, and they're smiling. They're both laughing on the card.
Wow. It's rare.
And this is a bunny that's sort of going to.
Like a chalkboard finish to it?
Chalkboard finish to it with a piece of chalk.
And then you draw a bunny.
Let's give it to our artist.
Zoe?
In-house artist. Zoe?
Draw a face on that bunny.
Why don't you... Let's take the chalk off, and you go to work on the bunny. You put... Yep. Here you go, Zoe.
Go to work on that rabbit.
Nailed it. Good luck. Good luck, Zoe. Hardy, you have something?
I have a lot of stuff here from JD in Winchester. Baseball. He's got like a packing list, you know, when you get big box. So there are a lot of baseballs here. Thank you for that.
Hardy's juggling.
Here is my favorite. There's a lot of stuff in here. There's a Mikhail Gorbachev keychain. It's just a very small Gorbachev keychain.
Okay.
There's also... As you can see, Beetle, the newspaper from the Blizzard.
Blizzard of 78?
An actual newspaper there.
Which paper?
The Boston Globe, the Sunday Globe.
Nice.
So that's a pretty cool item there. These are my two favorite, though. There's a lot of stuff here. The Mookie Betts wall catch bobblehead. Right? He's perched right up there on the wall. It's not bad.
It's great, because if he was standing up, it might not fit on the shelf.
Exactly what I was thinking, Jim, but this is my favorite. Actual ash from Mount St. Helens.
Wow.
Right? Volcanic ash and...
That's weird.
An actual piece of, like, I don't know...
Lava.
Hardened lava that he picked up from the side of the mountain. That's all from J.D. in Winchester.
Magma.
This is his second delivery, I believe.
Really?
He was tweeting. I think he... Did he send the Friday the 13th stuff? Those items of Friday the 13th, I believe. I think he sent a bunch of stuff.
I don't recall.
I mean, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is here. We got another Zamboni. You have a lot of Zambonis, don't you, Jim?
I got a few, yeah.
All right, so a lot of good stuff. Thank you, JD.
I got this from Al, who's sending us this from Milford. If it doesn't make the shelf, make Zoe eat it. Al Lawrence and Matt Shaughnessy, Maine Drilling and Blasting. It's a can of spam.
Oh, it's awesome.
If it doesn't make the show,
I ate spam the other day.
Make Zoe eat it.
I ate some spam the other day.
So it's real. It's not like the foam one that I got earlier.
Oh no, it's a real can. Best of eaten by February of
2023. Oh, we got
spam last.
Probably got a lot, plenty of time.
Save a couple years. Eat that in a couple years.
All right. You have something autographed because I see the.
Yeah. Okay. So this is from our guy Ilya the Great. I think the wrestler.
Oh, all right.
It says, dear Jim, here's a couple of random things that I found around my office shelves that maybe you can put on yours. Found the Dunkin' Donuts cup and a whole box full of them there. A few years back when my company was cleaning up a closed Dunkin' Donuts, so he stole all the cups from there. Tell Zoe, Beetle, and Hardy, I said, quah, 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 quah. I like this. No T-bone reference whatsoever. So, Jim, it's a, Red Sox defeat the New York Yankees 4-3. Dunkin' Donuts cup.
It's a good
2004?
Cup.
2004?
Is that Adrian Gonzalez?
That's Johnny Damon.
Oh, looks like Adrian Gonzalez.
It's Johnny Damon.
Yeah. And a, what's this guy's name on Seinfeld? Jason something?
Jason Alexander.
George Costanza.
Oh, my God. Look at T-Bone perk up back there. Like, what?
It's officially signed by him with an authentic
That's a legit authenticity there, too.
Nice, got pliable.
Keep bending it.
Yeah.
Just joking.
Let's see that. What'd you draw?
Marchand for hockey, and I'll erase it. I'll do Char later. So it's a Marchand egg.
So you drew Marchand's face on the bunny killer. Rabbit egg.
Nose face killer. Yeah. I should wait. I gotta add a mustache. There's a mustache.
I've got one in here. So remember Lauren's Uncle Bob sent
Uncle
some
Bob
items?
In Florida?
Yeah, he sent a bunch of old hockey items, red on red. So
he sent more?
No, his son-in-law, John, sent
John.
Some stuff. He used to work for the Providence Bruins. Now he works for a minor league hockey team in Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, my God. So we got Uncle Bob and his son, John. So Uncle Bob's son, John, from son-in-law John,
is that John
from
Coletto?
Iowa.
John Coletto?
No, yeah. Works for, so I figured minor league stuff, minor league hockey stuff, I'd probably get. No.
Uncle Bob, he works
much
for
cooler than that.
He works for the refinery over near Gillies. Uncle Bob!
2002 Patriots season ticket holder commemorative ticket. It's one of these deals like the Bledsoe thing.
Oh, yeah. Those are very popular.
But also, ticket for the game that they clinched the division against Miami, final game of the season.
Which year?
December 22nd, 2001, the year they did the lap around the field. They did the because they didn't know if they were going to have a home playoff game.
Correct.
Time,
that was
right?
before the Vinatieri game.
It was the last regular season game at, in Foxborough.
Do you know that Kevin Falk, I think, threw a pass to Brady in that game? Like a long pass, like a 20-yard pass.
Way.
He did.
Huh.
Yeah. That's what I remember about that game.
Section red jerseys, 123. Right?
Red jerseys?
Row 1.
I think it was a Saturday game, too, late December. I think it was, did it say Saturday on it? Did it have a Saturday on there?
Saturday, December 22nd.
Yeah, it was a Saturday game,
123, low, row 1, $47.
$47.
Nice, good price.
For front row seats in 2001.
Wow.
It's got the picture on it of CMGI Field.
Love it.
It says CMGI Field, though.
Lost a lot of money in that stock, penny stock now. CMGI.
Penny stock still has a lot of money.
Jackass. Dumbass.
It was a tech stock. What? Didn't work out?
Didn't work out. Yeah. Bought it like 47, sold it like 1.
Oh, boy. Yeah. How much stock did you buy?
Not enough.
What else you got there? You got anything else? Or we got?
Sure.
Did you buy it from Jordan Belfort? What are you doing?
This is from Jim. No, this is to Jim from Kurt. Jim, whatever you do, don't ever be drunk at an auction of a charity golf tournament or else you end up with junk.
Oh, those are the worst.
Just like this Kyle McLaren.
Hardy did this once and he wasn't
puck.
Even drunk.
And the ring
he's
that
got
I
the
found.
Picture on his wall to prove it.
He's also got a puck.
Kyle McLaren?
Kyle McLaren signed puck. Oh, my God. This gets weird.
Whoa. What is this version of the song?
It's the Trolls version. It's like the next one in the rundown here.
Celtic players. Little guys.
I like it.
Russell.
Four. Who are the players?
Russell, Mikhail.
Who's that? What uniform?
Chamberlain. It's Wilt the Stilt.
Wow.
Tonight, Wilt's cool.
Those are cool.
Larry Bird. Your kid will go nuts, Jim.
Nice.
He might not sleep tonight. And a ring that he found at an estate sale.
What is the ring?
Jesus estate
sale. Can you tell us what the ring is?
You can't tell what the ring is. It's just a random ring.
Like a class ring?
Yeah.
Is it engraved inside?
I don't know. It looks like something from The Hobbit. I don't have my readers. I don't know. What the hell is this song?
I don't. Yeah. Jim, I got
the Trolls version.
Jim, I got another version I can pull up here. It's better.
I know what it is. I know.
Is it Derek?
Don't do it to me, honey.
Is it Derek?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.